Despite inflation, there are three things getting cheaper: gas, chicken wings, and one part of Medicare for seniors. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. There is some disinflation, with seniors now paying less for one part of Medicare. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins us from Washington with what's going down and why. Nancy, part what?
This is Medicare Part B, David, and that covers things like physician services, outpatient hospital visits, some home health care services, and medical equipment.
Part B, bravo. Cheaper by how much?
It's decreasing by $5.20 a month. So the standard premium for Medicare Part B next year will be about $165 a month. So it's not down by a huge amount. But the White House says this is the first time in more than a decade that the premium price is actually going down. And it's lower because Medicare socked away extra money this year to cover projected spending on a new expensive Alzheimer's drug. And that drug has to actually be administered in a doctor's office. Medicare limited the use of this medication. Finally, the drug maker cut the cost of this drug in half. So now Medicare is sharing the savings with seniors.
And there are some other changes in what Medicare covers, including vaccines?
Right. Under what's become known as the Inflation Reduction Act, seniors on Medicare won't have to pay anything for vaccines, and Medicare will actually cap the cost of insulin at $35 a month.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington. Thank you. Authorities in Europe say breaks in the Nord Stream natural gas pipelines from Russia to Germany are likely deliberate sabotage, possibly caused by explosives. The BBC's Jessica Parker has more.
Ukraine quickly accused Russia of being behind what it described as a terrorist attack without giving proof. Other European leaders were more cautious, as many questioned why Russia would damage its own pipelines that weren't even in use. Some analysts speculate it could be to demonstrate an ability to interfere with European energy infrastructure as the EU tries to wean itself off Russian supplies. The blast coincided with the opening of a new pipeline running from Norway to Poland. Last night, the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said that any deliberate disruption of active infrastructure would lead to the strongest possible response. The Kremlin said it was extremely concerned by the leaks.
Prior to the ruptures in those lines, the price of natural gas in Europe had fallen to its lowest point since July, with European storage tanks stocked for the winter. Since the breaks in the lines, the price has been spiking back up, even though the Russian gas company had, as she said, already turned off Nord Stream 1, saying it needed maintenance. And with the approach of the powerful hurricane headed toward Florida's west coast, the airports in Tampa, St. Pete, and Key West are now closed, Disney World and SeaWorld also. In Cuba, no deaths are yet reported in the storm, but the famed tobacco fields that become Cuban cigars are reportedly damaged. Let's do the numbers. The Dow future just went from negative to up by a bit, 20 points at the moment, less than a tenth of a percent. The S&P future is down about a tenth of a percent. NASDAQ future is down 0.4%. No relief for the British pound, battered by a new campaign of British government borrowing to lower taxes there. And the strong U.S. dollar, a pound is 107 this morning after hitting an all-time low on Monday. A euro costs just 96 U.S. cents. Today there's a summit, a conference on hunger, nutrition, and health hosted by the White House. The last gathering like this was back in 1969, and it led to some of the major anti-hunger programs that still exist in this country, including food stamps, called SNAP now, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. More than 40 million people got SNAP benefits last year, but anti-hunger advocates say there are still many ways that program could be improved. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has that.
SNAP is the largest anti-hunger program in the country. Rachel Sisnocek at the Second Harvest Heartland Food Bank in Minnesota says it's also the most effective.
Just in terms of reach and the number of people who have access to SNAP, it's kind of unparalleled.
But there are still a lot of people who aren't getting benefits and should be. In part, she says, because the process of applying is confusing and cumbersome.
Typically, you have to fill out a paper form, you have to print it off, sign it, fax it.
During the pandemic, the federal government made the application process easier, Sisnochek says. It also temporarily expanded access to SNAP and increased benefit amounts. Going forward,
a big step would be looking at some of the changes that were made during the pandemic and making those changes permanent.
In addition to that, Jerome Nathaniel at the City Harvest Food Bank in New York says raising the income threshold would make a big difference.
The income eligibility for SNAP is very low. Many families that are struggling to make ends meet may not be eligible for SNAP.
There are also a lot of people who aren't eligible because they're undocumented, he says. Changing that would also go a long way towards reducing food insecurity. Ultimately, though, Park Wilde at the Friedman School of Nutrition Science and Policy at Tufts says ending hunger is going to take more than just expanding SNAP and other food assistance programs.
I think we're doing very well using our nutrition assistance programs to reduce hunger and food insecurity, but I also think further progress could require us to think more broadly about where does nutrition assistance policy fit into a broader anti-poverty strategy.
One example, he says, in 2021, the federal government temporarily expanded the child tax credit. That wasn't a nutrition assistance program, but research shows it helped reduce food insecurity. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
We're also covering nearly $2 billion in fines to be paid by about a dozen banks for using secret messaging apps in violation of federal record-keeping rules governing financial markets. The coverage will be in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss it on the air this morning. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.